good to be here this morning as we come to a portion of our service where we are about to hear from the Word of God. I am definitely grateful for the opportunity, even though it is afforded every Lord's Day. It is not something that I nor we should take for granted, because it could be our last opportunity to worship God, at least on this time side. When I think about the sacrifice of thanksgiving, there are many things that come to mind. There are such blessings that should come to our minds. Do you realize the great opportunity we have today to come and to worship God, to proclaim to not just one another, but to the city of San Angelo that God indeed is alive? I'm reminded on one occasion when Paul was talking to the church at Corinth and he was addressing them concerning the Lord's Supper, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and he was talking about how they show the Lord's death till he returns. What a great opportunity we have, that we're able to worship our God and Father, to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, to build up one another as we're singing these songs of praises unto God. But also, it caused me to consider the perspective that those who may not know Jesus Christ for the pardoning of their sin, and when they come and they visit us and they observe our worship to God, and how they can say, as Paul would say to those in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 25, truly the Lord is among you. What a great honor to read those words and to hear those words and to know that once someone has been in our public worship, they can say that God is indeed among you. Today we're going to be talking about the sacrifice of thanksgiving. And if you will, turn to Psalm 100. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 100 for the next few minutes and looking at each verse. There's only five. But in those verses, they are power-packed, if I can say it that way. They're filled with reverence. They're filled with praise. They're filled with what is called an opened declaration to God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. Here we come across the psalmist, not truly knowing who he may be, but we know that he was one that loved God. He was one that esteemed him highly. He was one that didn't mind worshiping him and honoring him in a very public fashion. It caused me to think about what the psalmist here says in verse number one. As we make our way to the great idea of the sacrifice of thanksgiving, here in verse number one, we see the call for all men to acknowledge the Lord in song. For all men. Notice what he says. Make a joyful noise or shout to the Lord, all ye lands. The word lands there is a figure of speech denoting mankind, which means that here the psalmist desired for all mankind to shout unto the Lord, to give him the glory that is due his name. It caused me to think about who God is even today, how God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, and how God desires all men to repent. And when we consider this thing, friends, we know that God desires all men to turn from their evil ways, according to Acts 17 and verse number 31. Yet, God is a good God. He's a good God in that he has given man, all mankind, the things in which he or she needs in order to live. It reminds me of Acts chapter 14. Turn your Bibles there. There are a few places in this particular lesson this morning that there will be some extensive reading. And the reason why is because I want you to get the context of what we're discussing. Here, we understand that the psalmist wanted all men to sing unto the Lord. Here in Acts chapter 14, Paul would say in verse number 17, as it relates to the goodness of God. Notice what the Bible here has to say. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness in that he did good. How did God do good? He gave us rain from heaven and fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Do you realize that it doesn't matter if a person is faithful to God or not? God wants all men to eat. He wants all men to have something for their stomach. And God is so good that he has given us trees and fruitful seasons in order for man to just turn around and look for him. I'm reminded of Romans chapter 1. We're not going to go there, but when you consider Romans chapter 1, God wants all men to be looking for him. Kind of reminds me of Acts 17. And when we consider Acts 17 and how God wants all men to grope after him, to search for him, to find him. And that's why we have a responsibility that when we come to God in worship, that we are magnifying the very name of God. Kind of reminds me of John 3, verse 16, how God sent forth his Son, wanting all men to be saved. And it's interesting that when we consider that great point there, that God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And so, God, why did you give your Son? Because I want all men not only to be saved, but to turn around toward me. And so God is a great God, that he wants all men to turn from their wicked and evil ways and turn toward righteousness, turn toward honoring and glorifying him. Go to Psalm and look at Psalm 100, look at verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. It's interesting that we see something very, very powerful for us, even as Christians today. The idea of serve there is the idea of bond service. Now, we understand that Paul would call himself a bond servant, but here is bond service, that this individual has submitted themselves under God for service. That is not about his service or her service, but it's about the service of Almighty God. And notice what he says. Now, I want us to consider this. Serve the Lord with gladness. The word there literally means with lightheartedness, with a good spirit, with cheerfulness. I have in my notes, this is difficult at times because of problems, pressures, and perplexities in life. But I want us to consider the very fact that we had enough strength to come to this building ought to be enough for us to serve the Lord with gladness. That God has given us all that we need that pertain to life and godliness through knowledge. I know that problems and pressures and perplexities in this life come to all of us. However, the psalmist got it right when he said, serve the Lord with gladness. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the apostle Paul understood this idea. He had pressures in his life. As a matter of fact, we can go as far as to say that the apostles had pressures and problems and perplexities in their lives. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting at verse number 8, notice what the Bible there says. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our body. Friends, did you see that? Even the Apostle Paul and the apostles understood the very stresses of life, the perplexities, the problems of life. Of course, during in the context of what Paul is talking about, because of the preaching of the gospel, they had great problems and pressures and people wanting to destroy their lives because they're standing up and proclaiming the name of Christ. As Christians, we have to be able to endure as well. We have to be able to carry our problems to God. I'm reminded of what Peter said in 1 Peter 5, verse number 6 and 7. As it relates to casting all of your cares upon him, for he cares for you. But if you notice verse number 6, to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And it made me think about something as it relates to serving the Lord with gladness, with glee, with lightheartedness. And I love the prayer as it relates to leaving all things out and considering and concentrating only on Jehovah. He deserves it. And because he deserves it, we ought to give it to him. Look at Philippians 4. Look at 4 through 7. A very familiar passage of scripture for those who read the Bible and understand it. Notice Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do you know that this is a command in the scriptures? He's not suggesting it. He's not asking if you want to get around to it. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand, meaning he's near to help. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Now notice the attitude that we ought to have. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Friends, God wants us to request and talk with him and cast our cares upon him in order for us to come here and be lighthearted, to allow all of the distractions and the pressures and the problems of the time in which we live in today to be on the outside of the building, that we may concentrate on him and one another on the inside of the building. So go back to Psalm 2, Psalm 100, and notice what he says. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence. It's interesting that word presence there. Come before his face. You know, it was an honor for the Jew to know that they could come before God, Brother Braswell. It was an honor to know that they were living their lives in a way that when they came before God, God would accept their sacrifice. He would hear their cry. He would understand the perplexities in their life because they came before him according to the way he said it, in holiness. But notice verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. The very fact that we come before God knowing that he is Lord, he is Jehovah, he is God. We can trust him. We can honor him. And notice when we consider some of the things in this particular verse, it is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Let me break this down to you for a little bit. When we consider this particular verse, know ye that the Lord, he is God. This should keep us grounded and it should also keep us thankful. Just like we talked about on last week in 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse number 18. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Friends, I know that's difficult. I understand the pressures of life at times. Things that come our way from a health perspective, from a financial perspective, and we'll have more to say about that later. However, in everything, give thanks. And so when we consider, know ye that the Lord, he is God. He is the one that keeps us grounded. He's the one that should keep us thankful. And it's because of him we know that we are not self-made individuals. Notice what he says there. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. I thought about this from a spiritual perspective. We're made in his image, Genesis 1, verse 26. I was looking at this from a spiritual and a physical perspective. He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul, Genesis 2 and verse 7. I consider this as it relates to how we're living and moving and having our very being, Acts 17 and verse number 28. Friends, it's because of God we are who we are. Reminded of what Moses told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy 8 and verse number 18, that it is God that giveth thee power to get wealth. It is God that takes care of us. It is God that has given us his son that we can be saved inside, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. I'm reminded of what Paul said, that I am by the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 10. Friends, it's because of God that we are who we are. Friends, consider this. For this reason, notice what he says. We are his people. We have identity. The sheep of his pasture. We have direction. We have stability. Now, notice those three things in those verses. Brother Royce, I found this very interesting when he says we are his people. We have identity. We don't have to be struggling around here wondering who we are. As a Christian, we know that we're identified with Christ. We're Christ's followers. We're spiritual beings. We're following the moral leader going back home to God. We're sheep, meaning that we have a shepherd. Remember in John chapter 10, Jesus is the chief shepherd. And so being sheep, we have a shepherd. We have one that's given us direction. That it doesn't matter what I'm going through, whether it is good or not so good, that I have direction everywhere I go. No wonder the psalmist, Solomon would say in Proverbs 3 and verse number 5, trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. It is so easy for us to lean to our own understanding. I was just rebuked yesterday by my wife about that. I'm just telling you. Every now and then we need a good rebuking. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we want to lean to what we think is right. But notice, we have stability. Now, when I saw this, I was thinking, wow, we are the sheep of his pasture, his domain, his area. That gives us stability. We know where we are. No wonder the church is so important. The church is so important because we have a locale, we have a location, we have a place that we can go for refuge. And that's the church that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died for. The one that he purchased with his own blood, Acts 20 and verse 28. The one that he's going to come back and get one day, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 and 24. Look at verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And this is where the crux of our lesson is. When we think about the sacrifice of thanksgiving, notice the first word there, enter. The idea of going in or coming in. But going in or coming in where? His gates. His opening. Jesus said, I am the door, John 10 verse 7. I am the way to the Father, John 14, verse 6. If anyone is going to come to the Father, we got to go through the gate. We have to go through the door. We have to go through the one whom God has sent. But notice what he says. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. I found it very interesting as well that this word here, and Brian, look it up when you get a chance. It's the idea of public acknowledgement. Public acknowledgement. There's one thing to acknowledge God in your heart. There's another thing to let the world know, I belong to God. Here in our worship assembly, do you know that you're proclaiming to San Angelo and to everyone that's in this assembly that you believe that God exists, that Jesus Christ is Lord? Friends, let's not take that lightly. in a world in which we are living in today where many are trying to deny God, to deny his existence, to deny a moral code, to deny a standard of living. Friends, we understand that God wants to be thanked. And the psalmist here has something very powerful to say. Enter into his courts with a public acknowledgement, a public adoration. And notice what he says. And into his courts with praise, an open honor, an exposed love for God. When we consider the sacrifices, especially of those of the Israelites, it's very interesting. And I found some passages with the phrases, the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And the more I pondered that and studied it over the week, I was thinking, so powerful to know that when the Israelites came with their sacrifice, they would offer some type of animal such as a cow or a goat or a sheep, something of that nature. And it had to be the best, of course. And I found it very interesting as well that they were bringing this sacrifice, and sometimes it wasn't because of sin. Sometimes it was a peace sacrifice or an offering. Sometimes it was a sacrifice of just being thankful. Can you imagine taking the best that you have, the best goat, the best sheep, the best cow or the bullock, and offering it unto God because you're just thankful to him? Can you imagine that? The value of that particular animal. And then it made me think about us in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, how we're supposed to be living sacrifices. We're giving God the best that we have. And Father, we're giving it to you not just because you command it, because you have, and it is a duty, but because I love you. I'm doing this because I love you. So it made me think about all of the animals of Leviticus 6 and 7 and how they would take the best and they would give it to God. And they would say, this is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Not because I owe you. And friends, when they would sin against God in order for an atonement to be made and God appeased, they owed God this. They would have to bring the best. But here they would bring the best to God just because they were thankful. When we consider the sacrifice of thanksgiving, turn your Bibles to Leviticus 22 and verse 29. When I found this passage, I said to myself, wow, what a great passage. Because there are about 7 or 8 passages that demonstrate the sacrifices of thanksgiving. But here in Leviticus 22 and verse 29, we take notice of something as it relates to the sacrifice of thanksgiving and the attitude that came with it or should come with it. And when you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offer it of your own free will. What a blessing. And when we come to worship, no wonder there are some who don't really see the importance of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. But we do, because we're thankful. We're here because we want to be here. We bring our children because it's the right thing to do, in hopes that when they get older, that they'll give themselves as a free will offering unto the Lord himself. Look at Psalm 26 and verse number 7. In Psalm 26 and verse number 7, the psalmist here would proclaim something very proudly to God, if I can say it that way. In Psalm 26 and verse number 7, notice what the Bible here says. Psalm 26 and verse number 7. He says, that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all of your wondrous works. It's interesting what is attached or associated with thanksgiving. Telling God, telling man of God's wondrous works. The psalmist would magnify the Lord's name in Psalm 69 verse number 30, and Psalm 95 and verse number 2. He would call upon the name of the Lord with the sacrifices of thanksgiving. Turn to Psalm 107 and look at verse number 22. In Psalm 107 verse 22, what a great attitude that the psalmist had here, and really, we ought to have the same attitude. Look at verse number 21. We'll read 21 and 22. All that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness. It's interesting that you'll see this particular theme all throughout Psalm 107. All that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Friends, because we're thankful to God, we ought to be telling people about God and about righteousness and about morality and about clean living. We ought to be doing that. And the reason why is because we're so thankful to God. But I found a passage that just wowed me. In Amos chapter 4 and verse number 5, I'll just refer to it. You go back and you look at it. But here, God is talking to his people. And Brother Brian, he wants them to turn from their wicked way. And they're in Babylonian captivity, coming out of Babylonian captivity, rather. And he says that, I want you to come and offer unto me the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And the more I thought about that, I said, Father, it seems like you're requesting for your people to be thankful to you. I am. I'm requesting that. And we ought to be thankful to God. We ought to be thankful to God regardless of what's going on in our lives. Be thankful. But look at verse 5 of Psalm 100. Here he says, for the Lord is good. Reminds me of Jethro when he and his father-in-law was talking in Exodus 18. And God had just delivered the children of Israel, and Jethro and Moses they're in the tent, and Moses is telling Jethro about how good God was. You know, we ought to be talking to our children about the goodness of God. We ought to be talking to one another as spouses about the goodness of God. We ought to be talking to our co-workers about the goodness of God. We ought to be talking to those we come in contact with about the goodness of God. God is good. And the psalm is considered the goodness of God in Psalm 73. Look at Psalm 73 and look at just verse number 1. And I love how the psalmist says what he says in verse 1. He says, truly, God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. God is good to us. He was good to Israel. He's good to us. Jesus would tell the rich young ruler that God is good. Paul would talk about the goodness of God leading men to repentance, Romans 2 and verse 4. But I think Acts 10 and verse number 34 is my favorite. Look at that real quick. In Acts 10 and verse 34, Peter, as he is talking to these Gentiles, these first converted Gentiles, if you will, he brings up Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 10, starting at verse number 34, notice what the Bible here says. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted of him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That the word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism of John preached, which John preached. Listen to this. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Friends, Jesus went about doing good because he was one who was down here representing God the Father. And because God is good, and because we're following Christ, and we're demonstrating to the world that Christ lives in us, the hope of glory. Friends, we ought to maintain that goodness as well. Let's be good. Why? Because God is good. And so, in conclusion, we should go and do likewise. We ought to do exactly what they did. I'm aware of some of the physical issues among us. The emotional issues, the financial issues, some issues of the heart, some marital issues, some family issues, some doctrinal issues. But know this, that God is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth goes through all generations. God is good to us. And so, go back to Psalm 100 as we close. Because God is good, because his truth is everlasting, because he's merciful, we'll end by reading Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. Let's go out and let's exclaim the goodness of God, that when we come back next Lord's Day, when we come back to worship God in spirit and in truth, we'll bring that goodness right back here because he's good to us. And so it doesn't matter what we're going through. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. God is still good to us. And we can honor him and glorify him because he's good to us. I've said this before and I'll say it again. If God did nothing else for us, he's done enough by giving us eternal life with him. Let's have a word of prayer. I'll offer the invitation. The lesson will be yours. Our God and our Father in heaven, you're good to us, and for that we're thankful. We pray to Father that as we have offered the sacrifice of thanksgiving, given ourselves, worshiping you in spirit and in truth, demonstrating to the world around us and those who are visiting with us that you are God and besides you there is none other. We're thankful to you. We're thankful for your son. And we're so thankful that you have given us an opportunity to worship you, to extol, to exalt your high and holy name, for you are holy. And Father, help us to always strive for holiness in our lives, not just here, but at home, at work, at play, wherever we may be. Help us to be that great representation of Jesus Christ living in us. Father, we're thankful. We know that the world is looking to be thankful all month, but we're thankful all year because we love you and we just want to do what you have said. Forgive us when we fall short. Help us to always strive for righteousness. Help us to be a people who are humble and that they cast their cares upon you because you care for us. Forgive us when we fall short, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider the goodness of God. And God is good. And the reason why we know he's good, because he sent his son to die for men and women who could not stand him. Romans 5 and verse number 8, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. That sounds like a good God to me. That he wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And there is truth. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Will you be willing to repent of your sins? Really, that's what God is striving for. God is striving for all men to repent, to turn from their wicked way, to turn from their evil way, to turn from themselves and turn toward him, the one who is going to be leading all men back to glory. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of your sins. And God will do an amazing, amazing thing in your life. He will wash away all your sins. He will cleanse your conscience from dead works. He'll add you to the church of Christ. And he will give you all spiritual blessings which are only found in Christ. Friends, God is a good God. But after you obey the gospel, he wants you to be a living sacrifice. And it's interesting that when Israel offered the best unto God, something had to die. But it's the same for us. Once we obey the gospel, we have to die to ourselves, to our ways, to our ideas and lust and pleasures. Live for God. And we can do it And the very fact that you're here, I know you're trying to do it. Let's keep doing it. Maybe you're a child of God and you need help. We all need help every now and then. Let's not be prideful. Let's not be puffy. Let's not be arrogant. Let's humble ourselves and let's get the help that we need so we can go home and be with God. That's really what it's all about. Jesus would say, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Don't be carnal-minded and think he's talking about money only. Sometimes just getting our way is too much. As we stand and as we sing, the Savior's invitation.